But before we go, what is your training like? What does it look like now? Like on most weeks, like obviously the sled work and those things, but what is the kind of it? Does it change week to week, or do you kind of have like an outline you play with right now?
So my base right now, the base of what I do as, you know, trying to get as it being shred season, there's four four non-negotiables. I guess five. Number one is every hour I'll do at least a minute of mobility. Sometimes it'll be strength. And that's it's a bit the calisthenic stuff, like you know, pull-up dip, deep squat, stuff like that. That's just kind of built into what I do now. I know you're a big fan of something similar. Number two, it's a daily weighted walk. Though what I've been doing lately, I kind of mix it up. I obviously I can walk in my neighborhood with the 20-pound ruck, but then I've been going to this fitness park we have. I set the clock for an hour. It's got a nice little hill too, so I'll do some like incline, decline, agility or mobility drills. You know, walking up a hill backwards is essentially backwards sled dragging without the need for load. And they have, you know, they have a gymnastics calisthenics area too. So I can hang, go to the hill. So basically, it's just kind of a fun way for me to just, I move for an hour. I bounce between the fitness park, which is adult only, by the way. There's literally a sign that says you have to be 14 to step on this area. There's three children playgrounds right there. But the moment Uncle Baby Biscuits comes over to here, 10 kids come and they mimic
Love
my
it.
movements. I
Love
hate
it.
it. There's a reason I don't have kids, people, okay? And then the parents come over, they're filming, and I'm like, there's a sign right there. Whatever. What am I gonna do? Adults need their playground too, okay? So that's been kind of fun too. But then the three routines that I lean on the most, it's the heavy bag, it's the sled, which we both have the same one now, the Tank MX, and then my pool work. Because again, I've been, you know, trying to come up with a plan what I'm going to do with my left knee, but all that stuff allows me to maintain my muscle mass, and really push my conditioning to a whole new level without triggering my knee arthritis. So, yeah, that's the five. And then like what you'll notice is there aren't really training sessions anymore. I'd like to get back to that maybe at some point, but this is just where I'm at right now with how much work I have to do. And you know, I've done a lot of training in my life. So you know, not I'm being able to just move and have fun with it is all. You go through those seasons, right? You know, I know you've had your personal struggles over the last year, which most likely means that you're probably not up for, you know, a highly structured pen to paper workout, right? That's why you do a lot of sled. That's why you do a lot of weighted walking. That's why you just kind of you just fuck around and get a triple double with your fitness because, you know, you don't need to do that anymore or all the time, based on how much experience you have.
Well, that's like you text me that the one day you're like, you don't got to be Jordan from the first three-peat. You can be Jordan in the second three-peat, just hitting fadeaways from the block, letting it compound over time, which very rare anybody would message that. That's why we're friends.
Different body requires a different approach. And
But no,
if you're 40, you're no longer 30. If you're
you know,
30, you're no longer 20.
people will say like, oh, you know, it's not old and it's not this and that. I'm like, I understand that in the context of like you're not 80, but I'm like, if you live to be 80, bro, that's half your life and it's your prime athletic life. So as I sit here and just like massage my right forearm because I got this almost like tennis elbow because I moved something into my truck this morning and I'm like, why is this there? Like that shit was never there before. And it's stuff like if I get up in the morning and I do all the work, right? But it's like I'll get up and like let me grab something from my dryer as I squat down. I'm like, oh, my knees are tight. Like that's the word I use. They feel tight or like stiff. And it's like, well, you were just sitting in this fetal position for the last like 7 hours or whatever, sleeping. Like that never used to be a thing. And I never used to think like if I take off the ground, will something come unattached that's supposed to be attached? Like those are real things I think about now. So it's like there's a Everything is like there's a risk reward. There's an opportunity cost to kind of everything. So, yeah, even if it's like a day where like I'll always move around, even on like the shittiest days where I'm tired or whatever the fuck it may be. But Yeah, sometimes it's like I don't want to just go through six different, exercises for X amount of sets of reps, focusing on like 90 seconds to, 2 minutes in between, like for a maximum hypertrophy. Like, yeah, some days that's what I do, but then there's some days where I'm like, fuck, man, mentally, I just don't want to do that today. And like, do you need to? I guess that's the big thing when people think of training. Like, a lot of people want to beat the shit out of themselves, and there's a time and place for all that stuff. I go, but it can't be every day, and it can't be every season of life, because I'm like, your joints really only have so much life in them, and there is connective tissue all around them. And like, I say this a lot now, and I sound like this super old person, but the things that used to just go away don't go away. They tend to hang out unless you fix them, and sometimes they're not even like they're not really fixable.
Yeah, man. Like, look, here's the thing about it too. Using the whole, we talked a lot about fighting. We all have a fighting weight. And what that means is it's your most natural body weight. It's one that like you can stick to and fall into, and just you'll, as long as you tend to do most of what you typically will do, it is what it is. It doesn't require a lot of effort to stay there. Like, for me to be 275 when I played college football, that took a lot of effort to stay there. That took 6 to 8 meals a day. It took a lot of heavy lifting. It took being, in my late teens, early 20s. Like, it was that perfect mix of things. So there's no, I'm not eating 6 to 8 times today in this economy. Are you kidding me? The only reason that works is we had a cafeteria food. I could take stuff home, unlimited food. But with boxing, like when I came in to do the boxing at like 225, 230, maybe it'd been even 235 at that point, bro, I was so stiff. I couldn't even finish a round without getting gassed. And all that stiffness from all that weightlifting, like it really came to a head. I went to the doctor because I have to, our medical system is so fucked. It took me 2 months to get the appointment to get an X-ray. So like, I need to start like the process of what I'm going to do about my knee. So I finally got the X-ray, and now I've got to wait to get a schedule to get the MRI to then end up getting the referral to be able to go see an orthopedic doctor. So that's where we're at with the medical system, and obviously I probably don't have very good health insurance, but or we have a cheap plan, right? Because we're whatever it is, but I was 202. Like, and this has been a deliberate thing for me to just get myself to the lightest possible weight where I feel good, I'm still strong. Because it's a long-term strategy for my arthritic knees. And an extra 20 pounds on these knees is going to lead to a really poor quality of life for me as someone who loves to move and be active. Like, so boxing has truly allowed me to find my fighting weight. And this is a natural thing too. Like in my 20s, I was a heavyweight. Now in my early 40s, I'm like a light heavyweight. And that's the right shift. That's a natural shift to happen to the male body, in my opinion, for longevity. Like again, like if I wanted to be a juice man, then it would not be the right approach. But I'm not trying to make it any harder on my arthritic knees. And I think hitting your fighting weight, you'll know exactly what it is. You just kind of fall into it, and it's just a weight that you can sustain at any age without much effort. Where you it maximizes all the things, right? You're lean, you're athletic, you're muscular enough, and you feel good, and you actually can do a lot of things without pain.
Yeah, it's like your body naturally wants to be there, and most people fight it one way or another. If I generalize, women tend to want to be in a lighter weight class for whatever reason, and dudes want to be in a heavier weight class. And it's not for me to judge wherever you want to be, like do what's best for you. I go, but there's so many people who message me who are like, hey, Jeremy, I'm 42, I'm 38, I'm 51, and I want to gain 15 pounds. And I'm like, maybe you need to. I don't know. It just seems like a shit ton of effort in your life to do that at that stage in the game. Like if you're 22 years old and you're 160 pounds, sure, dude, to gain 25 pounds is going to be a game changer. It's going to take you time. I go, but it's doable. Like when you're on the other side of 40, unless you're like super, super ectomorph and you've never trained, adding 15 more pounds, I don't know if that's really the route people need to go. It's like you told me a long time ago, it was like you go from kind of beast mode to like warrior mode, you know, kind of like this longevity piece. And I think that for most people is important. Like, because you can be, if you're a normal dude and you're probably like 5'10 or something and you weigh 170 pounds, you probably look like fucking Rambo, dude. Like, you probably look pretty good, man.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you see, okay, so let's compare Jake Gyllenhaal to Conor McGregor in that Roadhouse movie. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know if Jake Gyllenhaal took stuff or not, but we know Conor did, okay? And what is the difference in those physiques in terms of what someone actually wants? There's only one difference, their size, which, by the way, if you're on a camera, no one can tell.
No.
There was this one of the guys that's like, he's like in his 50s and I forget his name. It's just, he exploded during the pandemic online. Like, you know, he's really muscular and finally I saw him on the screen with someone who is like taller. And so, yeah, so he's, this guy's probably like 5'6", 5'7", which, by the way, that's fine, but he looks fucking huge.
Alone on camera,
but that's also mainly because he's so lean. And that's the thing, is as long as you're lean, you can look like a monster. And people have to just be honest with themselves too. Like, if you feel you're in the need to gain 15 pounds, it likely means that you just have a body type. You just have a small, leaner body type. That's not you. You know, like, just, and that's okay. Just, but you can add 3 to 5 pounds of muscle, or you can stay the same weight and have more muscle. Trying to get, it's never a good thing for 99.9% of people over 40 to add weight to their frame. I'm saying, like, that's not where our society is struggling right now. Not enough weight. Okay.
No.
There's an occasional guy who's super thin and rail thin that wants to add size, but to go after it from a weight standpoint versus like a strength muscle standpoint, you know, that weight is always going to be hard for you to keep on. That weight, it's not your natural body type.
I know. And in Roadhouse, Gyllenhaal was shredded, bro.
Oh, dude, he was shredded to the bone. And by the way, If you polled 99.9% of guys out there, let's just say 99 out of 100 people would have rather looked like Gyllenhaal than McGregor in that movie. Now, McGregor, like when he was fighting, that's a different conversation because you're talking like no waist, wide shoulders, 165. Now he looks like he's 205. And it just, there's this inflation that happens when it's not a natural thing for your body. The head shape is always a tell. Your skull doesn't change. Like,
it's a Barry Bonds head.
Yeah. This can't be, this is not normal. Finishing off, what's your training schedule? Like, what are you doing? What are your mainstays right now? I mean, I know it's a lot of sled and rucking, but, I also know, well, like,
you know, before I forget, did you ever watch Iron Claw?
Iron Claw. What's that?
Yeah. Remember we were at dinner, the wrestling movie. It's the Von Erichs, the Zac Efron.
Oh, I didn't even know that was out.
Yeah, it's called Iron Claw, dude. When you see him, bro, juiced up, like super, I mean, bro, like incredible. Like the conditioning, like regardless of what, I mean, people want to do a shit ton of drugs or no drugs, I don't care. Do whatever works best for you. But he's juiced the fuck up. And he looks like he's like Mr. Olympia. Like conditioning wise, like I mean, because they have him, his haircut is terrible because it's like a 70s haircut. I go, but he's tan as fuck in it. He's always pumped up, and it's just like, I mean, dude, he just it's impressive to see like this, because in Baywatch you saw him, he was like this little shredded dude. It's the same thing. He's just like thicker. It's wild to watch, man. It's like McGregor times 10.
You know what's interesting? Because I saw him, I think a year, it was a movie a year after he filmed that one. And there was like a dramatic shift in his head face.
His face. Yeah.
But you know, look, you're making millions and, the juice is probably worth the squeeze. But
yeah, I mean, I've said something about it, like A-Rod. People are like, oh, A-Rod did steroids. I'm like, well, he made like $300 million and married J-Lo. I'm like, seemed to work out for him.
And as long as you're not lying about it, you know, I don't know if he's, you don't have to like admit, you don't have to dispense information about it. But as long as you're not saying this is natural, that's fine. We need to know what's real. We all need that. It's a service to do for the community to know what is and isn't real. But the guy, the average guy working at Datacon.
No, he's not going to get there. No,
probably not.
My training. Yeah. Super quick. I like to do something every day. My steps are always pretty high. Like, I think even like Monday's my kind of shit day of work. At some point, some of this is going to change, but I think I have like 18,000 steps or something like on Monday, just because I'm there a majority of the day and I do my own stuff. So my steps are always, I think we track everything now. So on average, probably 12, 13,000 a day, something like that. Some days it's a lot like that. Some days it's less. But yeah, like the things I do, I really do sled work a lot, and I do carry a lot for sure. A couple of days a week of each. Sometimes I'll always just carry stuff, like for whatever dumb reason, and it's just for movement in general. Like instead of just putting dumbbells back, like I'll just pick them up and carry them around for 50 yards in different variations. But I've been trying to play with like, because again, we do stuff for the app all the time. So I'm trying to create different things, just stuff that I've never really done before, or I guess haven't done as much. I'll do kind of like a push, pull, kind of push, pull day. So instead of doing just upper, lower, which I've historically done for shit years, I'm trying to just play with that. So like the other day, you know, you would do like your squat, work. So I was just doing like the heels elevated, like goblet squats, which are fucking miserable. I mean, any of the squat stuff is miserable because your quads are just on fire. But I was doing that on the same day as like incline bench, you know, like things where I historically never would have done. I always would have loaded up all upper body, all lower body. And the one thing I probably would tell people is I do like those splits a lot, but to train and like to play sports, to play basketball or pickleball or box or whatever it is, if you're really, really going to do it and like and work out, you have to do the work before and after. Like you have to do the tissue work and you have to do the mobility work. And if you lag on that stuff, like bad things are going to happen. And you also just don't just like the amount of overuse of certain things, where I'm not saying one's better or worse, because you can, you know, make the argument either way for your training style and your body type or works for you. But to go in there and just like crush your lower body and do six or, you know, four or five or six lower body movements for 3-4 sets each, for most people, you're crushed like for more than 2 or 3 days. Where if you could just go in and say, okay, on this day, I'm going to, you know, do goblet squats. On this day, I'm going to do like a hinge pattern. On the next day, I'm going to do like sled work and carries. You're still working your lower body, but you're just spacing it out. I think for a lot of people, you're still going to do enough damage to keep your tissue and even, you know, create new strength gains, but you're not going to be so crippled. So I do way more mobility stuff now than I've ever done. I do way more sled work than I've ever done. I do way more carries than I've ever done. I walk way more than I ever have. And I do hopefully less dumb shit. Just because it's like, if something doesn't feel good, I don't try to force it anymore. Where historically I probably would, because like you were younger and you could get away with it. And you thought like, oh, if I don't do this, I'll wither away and I'll look like shit. And then you realize like, that's not the case, especially like once you've already built the base. And for most people who are older, you've probably been training for, you know, a decade or 2 decades or 3 decades at this point. So you still are training hard, but you're just being smart about it and knowing like you don't have to crush yourself so you can't do something for 3-4 days in a row.
You know what I really like? The wheelbarrow handles for the Tank MX. That's fantastic.
Oh, bro. It's because we'll go behind. We have those too. So this tank, again, we have both tanks. The real one, I mean, the thing is a fucking beast to turn and to move if you really want to move it. But taking those wheelbarrow handles, and if you have it plate loaded, especially on that side, like we'll walk it from like my building all the way essentially to the street, and it doesn't go fast. Like when you have it on full mode, like it is a slow journey for sure. But no, it's a great, again, you're two birds with one stone. I think for anybody, if you're going to buy one, like I would definitely buy the wheelbarrow attachments, because there's no other time I would do that movement or pattern in that way ever.
I mean, dude, I was doing cleans. Like, you can clean it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's a lot. I mean, it's just, that might be the single best piece of fitness equipment I've ever had my hands on. Cause when you combine the hip harness with the straps, that you can handheld, like rings or a TRX suspension trainer for those listening and not seeing visually, to the rope you can attach to pull, you can battle rope also off that thing. You can pull it, like a rope pull. And then you add the wheelbarrow, beyond the fact that the base sled itself has, you know, three different levels that you can push, pull it from. I mean, like, it's legit. And I bring the slant boards out too. And I'll even put, when I want to keep it stationary, I put a slant board on each of a tire. So I can actually lean off of it. If I want to do a self-assisted squatting, or if I want it to stay in place for whatever movement I'm doing. I don't know, and I've been doing it barefoot on my front lawn too, just for the added, you know, foot, ankle, toe benefits. Wow. And you can set it up too, where the plates, cause I have one side where, cause you mentioned the turning issue. I don't know if they had that attachment.
Yeah. I have it. Cause I don't even think, I don't know if you can turn it without it. Maybe you can.
You have to lift. I mean, cause you can actually deadlift it even without the, wheelbarrow attachments. If you take you adjust the
arm. Yeah. It's like the adjustable arm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to basically like deadlift it up and move it, but you can take the weight plates off and do weight plate movements, put it back on. Like, I don't know. It's just like, now it's not cheap, but, again, like the number of things you can do with that thing, like compared to a similarly priced Peloton bike. And they have a great starter unit that we both used for a couple of years before we even got up to the Rolls Royce. This thing is something else.
Yeah, I mean, it'll cost you money, but I'm like, if you were going to spend money on the Peloton bike, I would spend money on this. Even if you don't have a ton of space, like if you can move it 30, 40 feet at a crack, I think that's worth it. But again, if you can just go outside, like even in your driveway, or your front yard, I'm like, I think that's worth it. I just am a huge fan of, because again, the sled work, it's not just pushing and pulling the way you think about it. I mean, even if that was just it, but you can move dynamically with your stances, and you can hip hinge, you can deadlift with it essentially. Like I do, I'll face away from the machine, and I'll just essentially do a hinge pattern, and you can slow it down. And like it loads heavy enough, especially if you're pushing it for distance. And again, it can be brainless too if you want it to be. So if you're a person who just likes to run or just likes to ride a bike, like I'm not going to go ride a bicycle for 30 minutes. Like if Heather and I ride like on a beach cruiser or some restaurant, sure. But I'm not out here riding a bike, and I'm sure as fuck not running for a half hour straight on concrete. I'm like, so this is it's low impact, and it's something mentally you can just put a podcast on or nothing and just go, just move.
Oh, dude, so, I played football and I was a lineman on both sides. And if I had this tool, like the thing, what sucked about playing football back in the 90s, early 2000s is you can only access that equipment in season unless you had spring ball. But like, so I couldn't, like during the summer, I couldn't train on a sled. You know, I just couldn't do it. If I had this when I played football, bro, like, because low man wins, and the mono, like what people don't get as much with the sled, you're basically getting like no cost single leg squats when you're pushing a sled, no cost, because the moment you stop pushing, it stops. There's no eccentric overload coming into the muscles, so it's easy to recover from. It's easy on the joints. So it's like for anyone who's had a history of back and knee issues, but like wants to like do hard training that gives you strength and cardio. Like I literally put the sled in the heavy bag. Like that's the 1-2 punch for me to be lean and still be jacked. Right. Like to still, you know, walk into any room and, you know, unless there's a pro athlete in there, that's, you know, 10, 20 years younger than me, you know, that's, you're going to give me that, you pass me the you give me the baton in the room. Those are the two things that I do. Like, the sled keeps my legs jacked. The heavy bag keeps my upper body jacked. They're both full body, but then you can push and pull the sled. Like, just, I've been in heaven, bro. Like, using that thing. I'm gonna do the wheelbarrow stuff later today. What an investment! What an investment in your health. And again, like, I can just go and jump on it. You can adjust the resistance seamlessly because it's magnetic. I'm having a hard time finding a bad thing to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, for people, if you hate, you know, doing mobility and warming up, which you should do it, I'm like, you can literally just do movement prep with it on like the lightest setting, just to move your body through space, push, pull. And then for people, like, if you do have, or if you just hate like certain training patterns, like you don't feel comfortable doing barbell work squatting, which I don't think most people probably should anyway. If you're just the average gym goer, there's just better ways to get there. If you don't like doing like loaded lunges, you know, because you have knee issues or you just don't feel comfortable doing them, like, you can get pretty much all of your stuff done just using the sled, and it's way less painful for the most part. I still think you should do some kind of squat and kind of hinge variations and things like that. I go, but even if you hated doing that, I'm like, you could get away with most of it by just doing sled work if you're just creative enough. And again, I've never, you know, knock on wood, had any pain doing it. If you're someone who would waste time doing fucking calf raises forever, you could just push the sled because it's way more time efficient. It's way more beneficial. And depending on, you know, how you do it and where you're at, like in terms of pushing through your big toe, just the ankle mobility, there's just so many pieces to it that you're taking like five other movements you would do in the gym, and you can just do it with the sled work. And so that's kind of my biggest selling point to anybody.
And again, the built-in cardio, bro, like that's so important as you, cause you know, we're entering, you know, soon entering like prime heart attack. Like we're there, like, you know, and this is the time where people are most likely, to get like, you know, that those early heart attacks, and they're like, you know, 40s, early 50s. If they don't know something's there, something terrible happens. So that's what I'm saying is like for men in particular, I know men are like, with regards to like, most men always prioritize weights over conditioning or strength over cardio. That's kind of how we're molded, you know, if you will. But when you can get the cardio built into your strength work, or if you want to call it strength cardio or metabolic, whatever people want to call things, I don't give a shit. But you're getting that, like, and like you said too, I can make it mindless. I can just set the clock for 20, 30 minutes, and just it just starts at me pushing it, then pulling it, and then I don't know what's going to happen. I could run that flow the whole way, or I can start to change levels, or I can add in an attachment, or, you know, I can do some push-ups. I can burn off pushes before I push it, so that my chest is already pumped, and it's like a stack. Or I can hit some like lunges, you know. So the options are really endless with it. You can add calisthenics or weight stuff on top of it. So I don't think there is, and I'm biased too because like I'm just good at the sled, man. Like I was always that guy. Like where we would do whenever we did the 7-man sled, I would be on one side. Typically what they do is they'll put like the two strongest guys on one side. And then the goal was to tilt the sled. Like that's how we compete. You tilt the sled towards your side. And I would always turn that motherfucker because, you know, it's a mental thing to like, they even says it on the piece of equipment. Don't quit. You just keep going. You can get nauseous. And by the way, what's interesting too is we're about to close this out because I know how to breathe. Now, and I actually, when I do the sled, I tend to have a breathing rhythm based on my strides, because when back in the day, I would just, you know, I would just hold my breath, you know, like, dude, the shit we did when we were young, it's crazy. I didn't even know how I was able to do it. And I played both sides in special teams in high school. I never left the field. Like you're playing the whole game. So I wish I could go back, bro, have this sled, know how to breathe, avoid all these knee injuries that are like just, you know, unfortunate obstacles, you know, but this is what we do, is we just, you keep going.
Yeah, and that's what I would tell anybody. I'm like, you can essentially, you're a normal dude who hates aerobic work and you hate the things that you're not great at. I'm like, this is allows you to do it while still, like, I guess if you want to call it like your muscle building cardio or whatever, people want to frame it in your mind so you don't think of it as the way you think of just traditional aerobic work. And it's, to me, it's way more fun, and you're actually, you are going somewhere. Like, where am I? And again, the assault bike works great, we throw it in our workouts, but you're not going anywhere. Like, the calories move, I go, but it's a very, it's like a defeating workout to me. It's like, because I just sit there and I just pedal this endless fucking bike to hell, where the sled, I can actually, like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm actually moving it from point A to point B. And again, it's the easiest thing to just, it can be the base of every workout or all of a lot of your workouts, and just adding in the pieces of like push-ups, squats, carries, overhead pressing, pull-ups, you name it. It's really simple to do. And it's something, honestly, it's like, I look at the sled stuff as like rucking. You can do it every single day if you want to, and you can kill yourself some days, and some days you can just kind of go through the motions. And that's the beauty of, especially that sled, because you can change the resistance within seconds. So yeah, that's probably, next to mobility, doing a sled is probably the number two thing I do the most right now.
Or just, you know, 5 or 10 minute starters and finishers to your typical, you know, workout, you know, just it's most gyms have one. Almost all gyms now, they're set up with a turf area and a sled. And you start there, and then, but I'm going to just tell you, like, at some point you're going to want to get one for yourself at home, especially in the summer now, man. Like, what more do you want? You're getting the tan, you're getting the vitamin D, you're getting the sweat. The only thing this thing doesn't do is it doesn't mow the lawn. But in the desert, that's not true. The grass can grow, but, that's the one thing it is missing. Like, if it could also mow the lawn, this thing is second to none. It already is.
Yeah, no, it's legit. That's why it's a huge, it's, you know, I'll do it forever, essentially.
I'll put links in show notes for sled content and what we use. Jay, you want to final thoughts on today's episode?
I mean, it's a lot of shit. It's 2 hours worth of us talking shit about basketball and boxing and being old dudes who do fitness, man. But always a pleasure.
It's better than working at Datacon, my friend. That's the thing. Like, at the end of the day, bro, like, it could always be worse.
Yeah, no, I'll take this over the alternative any day for sure.
Guys, thank you for listening. Please follow Jeremy Scott Fitness on all outlets. I'll put links in show notes. Check out my Ultimate Boxing Trainer now on his exclusively now at his app, the Jeremy Scott Fitness app. And I have boxing content on YouTube here as well, obviously with the ads, but if you want ad free, check out Jay Scott's platform and again, all his other great muscle building, fat loss content. It's a pleasure to always a pleasure to talk, man, and share information with both of our people.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Peace. All right, buddy. Peace.